Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Launch School podcast. Today we are chatting with current student Caitlin. Caitlin is on the JavaScript track, right?
That's correct, yep.
Awesome. We're just going to have a quick chat about a few different things and hear from her some of her perspective. When I reached out to a few students for this interview series, I actually reached out to Caitlin because she's made some really nice articles that have been really helpful to a lot of students, I think. So I was quite inspired by how transparent she's been throughout her journey, and I'm curious to know more. So hi, Caitlin.
Thanks for that, Brandy. Yeah, hello. Happy to be here. Excited to chat and just have a conversation and talk about my journey so far.
Cool. Let's start with just what type of student you are. Like, why did you come to Launch School? Are you studying full-time, part-time? How are things going?
For sure. Yeah, I started with Launch School about 4 months ago now. And I came kind of after a year-long search of looking for boot camps and not really wanting to commit financially to, you know, just a 4 month turnaround time and a $15,000 to $20,000 estimate for a lot of these boot camps out there. And I found Launch School on a Reddit thread, and as soon as I started reading the documentation, I was kind of hooked. The mastery-based learning and the assessment-driven and the sustainable monthly fee, the online community, just a bunch of what Launch School had to offer. I decided to give it a try, and I'm so happy that I did. I really feel fulfilled by the curriculum, and I really feel like I am learning all of the finer details. And I'm so early on still. I am currently in the object-oriented programming course, and boy, is that a lot of material. It's pretty dense, and it's a lot of terminology that I've never heard before. But as typical Launch School fashion, it really organizes the data in a way that I'm able to comprehend and understand and recall information. So that's been great. Where'd I come from? I came from a career in project and construction management. I studied civil engineering in college, and, you know, I was doing that for the past 5 years, and I realized I really wanted to get back into my technical problem solving skills, but I didn't want to go down the civil design path. And I lived in Seattle, so I was kind of in this tech bubble where a lot of my friends were working for all of these tech companies. And, you know, I was just surrounded by the Amazon and Facebook and Google, and just seeing the lifestyle that software engineering kind of promotes, having a remote possibility, as well as, you know, being able to be an individual contributor on a team still. So having that option to do your own work, but still participate in a team-like environment, and getting back into technical problem solving, just getting back into my math roots and wanting to do a little bit more of that. I decided to, a few years ago, just say, okay, I'm going to make a switch here. How do I get to that point? And I started saving, I started budgeting, I started planning. And this past March is when I quit my job and moved to San Diego. And that's kind of when I started my journey. Did a little bit of self-learning for a few months, just with online free resources, and just tried to get a little bit of experience in all different areas. So I did Harvard's Intro to Computer Science class, mm-hmm. where I really got a lot of experience with C and Python, SQL, JavaScript, kind of wide range of experience there. And that was great. I also did the Odin project, which was really nice to kind of utilize JavaScript and HTML, CSS, and kind of create little projects like a calculator and an Etch-a-Sketch. Mm-hmm. So just got some experience to make sure, is this something that I really want to do? Is this something I want to commit the next, you know, career to? And I'm still enjoying it. And we're going on probably 8 months of just learning. And so, yeah, that's a little bit about me.
That's awesome. I think a lot of people resonate with that self-taught journey, that most people who start Launch School, this isn't like their first dip in the water. Especially the type of student who comes to launch school, they tend to be the ones that are very suspicious of the boot camps of like, I'm not sure what you could do in 4 months that is worth that much money.
So, for sure.
Kind of just looking for more structure. Like, I think at that point, you probably have this notion that self-taught 100% is totally possible. But for a lot of us here, we want more structure, like a little bit of direction about what do I learn next and where do, you know, what direction do I take this? And so the object-oriented course, actually, I find is where a lot of people find that they deviate from the stuff they've learned so far, that, you know, maybe JS 101 and 110 was pretty easy for you, like in terms of the topics you'd heard it all before, but then the OO course is where things are like, whoa, I haven't learned this in the self-taught world yet, or at least I didn't understand it fully. Is that the case for you?
Yeah, definitely. I had been familiar with a lot of the concepts and a lot of the terminology leading up to object-oriented. And then I started the course for OOP, and I just have a habit of writing down all of the boldface words in launch school curriculum. And most of them, I had no clue. I had to reread section over and over again until it really stuck, which is great. I was excited to get to that point where I was learning new material again. I felt like I had been preparing for the assessments for so long, just reviewing the same material over and over again for 119, that it's been refreshing to get back into the learning mode and have new terminology, new concepts, just everything new.
Yeah, it feels like the courses are so different, but they kind of repeat that wave of the brand new, everything's super overwhelming, like the first pass especially, you're not quite sure what's going on, and then the second pass, things get a bit more comfy. But OO JavaScript, I'm actually learning as well right now because I was on the Ruby track, so now I'm in the front end curriculum and learning OO JavaScript, and it's a trip. I think it's a really tough concept to wrap your mind around. There's a lot of details and a lot of approaches, so I'm glad that's going well for you and you're enjoying it. I think that's not always the case, but that's great. So when I reached out to you, I asked about like what you were comfortable talking about. And one of the things that came up was a not yet. And so you got a not yet, right? Do you want to tell us what happened? What course, you know?
Definitely. Yeah, I received a not yet on the JS 119 written assessment. And when I first received the not yet, it was a bit of a bummer, a little bit of a shock, and definitely a disappointment. Just in my performance, I really thought I understood the material and knew what I was talking about and was confident in the answers that I provided. But it wasn't until I actually reviewed my TA's thorough review is when I realized where I had made my mistakes. And a lot of it had to do with providing too much detail. The questions that were asked, I was just over providing. And in doing that, I lost time on every single question. I wasn't as technically precise or accurate with the excess information that I was given. And so I didn't go over time. I submitted the assessment with, I think, like 2 or 3 minutes remaining, but I didn't have any time to review any of my answers. So I felt extremely rushed, which didn't help my performance. I wasn't really as precise as I should have been. I wasn't referring to the callback function as that. I was saying the provided testing function. So every time I said that, I would lose a point, right? And so not truly understanding what the expectation was really got me, as well as just not preparing the correct way. I really didn't prepare how I should have been preparing. I wasn't practicing writing out concepts. I was reviewing the concepts and I had the information and I was, you know, I understood, but I wasn't actually writing out line by line what the code was doing and explicitly stating, you know, what was happening in that program using the terminology that the Launch School curriculum provided, explaining reasoning with reference to specific lines in the program and stepping through. So I think when I was preparing to retake the assessment, I was actually practicing how I would perform. So I went back through and reviewed what Launch School's curriculum, how they were explaining code snippets, right? And how they were explaining different concepts, and just really focusing on using the correct terminology and really looking at what the question was asking me to do and not providing that extra information, right? If the question said, you know, debug this, and I did, I didn't also explain what my program was doing.
Right.
And yeah, so that really helped when I was then retaking the assessment. I had plenty of time to review every single question the second time around, and I just felt a lot more comfortable. I felt a lot more at ease. I felt a lot more just confident in my solutions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting kind of like flavor of not yet. Like there's a few kind of types of not yets that happen. And a lot of people, when they receive one, very often it's, you know, a lack of precision, but kind of unprepared, like, you know, especially students who maybe are used to doing quite well in, you know, a traditional education setting. So they're like, yeah, I mean, I would have aced it had it been a normal assessment, not like a mastery-based assessment, right? But then there's this other flavor of really explaining so much and like almost being excited to explain so much, right? Like you're like, yes, I know what's happening here. But then it ends up, you know, sounds like kind of what happened is, you know, you write out all of these things that are happening in the code, but then the TA reads it and they're like, well, actually you haven't answered the question. Like it's clear that you know what's happening in this code, but you haven't answered the question. And it's interesting because that's, you know, that's good enough for you to be coding by yourself, but a huge portion of, you know, software engineering is communication with other people, right? So it's not just knowing what's happening
exactly
with the code and how to do it, it's that communication portion.
Yeah, communication is huge, and I think a lot of my first pass was a lot more generally speaking for the different iterative methods, whereas I wasn't specifically talking about the arguments that were being passed to the callback function and how the iterative method was evaluating the return values, right? I understood what was happening, but I wasn't actually saying that, right? And so because I didn't put that down on paper, or I guess it wasn't paper, but you yeah. know what I mean? Although I understood what was happening in my head, because I didn't communicate that clearly and precisely, I didn't get that passing score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other, you know, portion too of if a question asks you to fix this code and nothing else, you can just fix the code and move on and be grateful that it's,
yes,
you know, kind of an easier question. Sometimes students
exactly.
are afraid of these like hidden questions, but there's none of that,
yes.
right? So if we don't ask you what concept is being demonstrated, some people want to put that on every single question, and it's on most of them, but sometimes it's not. So, you know, take the win.
Sometimes it's not. Yeah, for sure. And that definitely happened. I was asked to, you know, fix the code, and I did. And then I also provided a statement on why I, you know, provided or why I used a certain method. And in that explanation, I made a mistake, which, so at the base of the question, I got it right. But because I provided extra information that wasn't totally correct, I lost a point. And so losing points here and there like that on most questions will result in a not passing score.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you mentioned that you like reviewing the TA feedback was really important. Is there anything else that you did in terms of like your retake process in like study sessions or study buddies? What did you do?
Yeah, I reached out to a lot of different people, previous students that had led spot sessions, previous friends from the course that had already passed the assessments and were on to further parts of the course, just asking for advice, feedback, getting tips and encouragement was really nice as well. But really, yeah, just fixing my study habits. So going back and taking the study guide and just practicing writing from memory, what is each concept? What is it doing? What are the important pieces? And then also going back through the Launch School curriculum to compare my response to what the terminology used in the curriculum was, to make sure that I was accurate, I was precise, and I was providing all of the details that Launch School expects. Attending study sessions and Tanina's study sessions were incredibly helpful just to understand the expectation of the difficulty of the questions, as well as just get, you know, make relationships and meet people and just get information and be present. And then code snips, just stepping through, practicing writing out, you know, line by line, what's happening, and feeling really comfortable doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, often looking at the study guide, we can tend to go through and be like, yeah, I know what all of that does, but it's
different.
I know
that. Yeah. It's different when you're actually like, oh, I know this. Let me write out a paragraph about it, right?
Exactly.
And then let me go back, review that paragraph, and fix, you know, make it as efficient as it can be and as precise, and then mm-hmm. rewrite it. So right. really just that repetition, just doing it over and over again, just making sure that I know the ins and outs and looking at my notes as little as possible, because as soon as I'm able to recall that information and be able to, you know, speak about it and not have to look at my notes, great. I know what's going on. I can talk about it. And then, you know, for the written, that's amazing. For the oral, it's even better, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being able to orally explain something is a whole different level than being able
sure
to.
Is.
Yeah. One of my other interviews was with a student who is a nurse, and they do a ton of testing, but it's all multiple choice, right? So that's that was also, mm-hmm. you know, kind of a similar situation of like, I knew this well enough to get like 100% if it's a multiple choice question, but I could not explain it to my peers or like teach someone else.
Yeah, teaching someone else was definitely helpful too. So after I took the retake, you know, finding peers that were also practicing for the assessment and meeting up and either virtually meeting up and, you know, having live coding practice back and forth with actual problem solving where we were going through the PDAC problem solving process, or just exchanging code snips and, you know, saying, okay, this is a code snip. How would you explain what's going on in this code? And then, you know, getting their feedback, getting their response and saying, actually, I wouldn't say this way, or this is how I would phrase this, was helpful for me to, you know, teach and then also teach myself mm-hmm. the right way to respond. And then they would do the same for me. And kind of that back and forth was really nice to mm-hmm. see how someone else would respond, but then also be able to provide feedback on others' responses.
Mm-hmm. And I like with study buddies that you can develop this sort of trust such that you can say that doesn't make sense and you don't, you know, your feelings aren't hurt or anything. You can just say like, Caitlin, that didn't make any sense, or like, what are you talking about? And, you know, make those corrections. So I think that's a really nice value that you get from study buddies that you might not have in that, you know, TA interaction quite as much, where you can really push each other. So after the not yet, you expressed, you know, of course it was shocking, disappointing. How was that in terms of like moving forward? Did you ever feel like I can't do this? Or was it just, you know, kind of like a fluke and you knew how to respond and moved forward?
Yeah, I never really felt like I couldn't do it. I more felt motivated to try again. I didn't question whether I was capable. I was pretty confident in what I knew, and I was more disappointed that I didn't perform as well as I knew I could the first time around. But sometimes you have to be knocked down and you have to be, you know, told that, hey, you didn't do it right. And you have to try again, and then you try again and you succeed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that journey takes a lot longer than you'd hope, or, you know, it just is a little bit different than what you originally thought. But yeah, I never really doubted myself. And I think that comes from just getting into computer science and software engineering and understanding that every problem out there is solvable. It's how you communicate to the computer, right? And once you crack the code and understand the logic, it's a little bit comforting and validating that, you know, okay, someone out there has solved this. That means I can solve it too. There's a certain set of instructions, of rules that you can follow to get to the right solution. And knowing that, that kind of gives me the confidence of, okay, if someone else can do it, I for sure can do it. And it just takes the right amount of practice, diligence, dedication to really get to that point. But yeah, no, I think receiving that not yet, sure, it was a hit to my confidence. I felt sad about it. I took a few days away. I took the weekend off and I came back and I got back to it. And a few weeks later, I passed the written with no problem.
Awesome. Yeah. It sounds like you just needed to kind of like embrace the style of launch school.
I needed to learn the expectation. And, you know, I took the first assessment in 109 and I had no issues. I prepared well and I tested well, and maybe I got a little too confident in my testing abilities, and that's okay, because, you know, I'm better for it now. Now that I know the level that launch school expects, as I'm preparing for, you know, object-oriented assessments, I feel like I'm studying the right way. I know how to break down the curriculum. I know what kinds of questions to ask. I know how to reach out to my community, my Slack peers early on and find connections, and I just know how to study a little bit better and how to prepare.
Can I ask how the 119 interview went for you?
Yeah, the interview went great. I was able to solve both problems, no issues. I felt really comfortable. I made one mistake, but my TA that reviewed it actually said it was pretty good, because they were able to evaluate how my debugging skills. And I felt a little overprepared, honestly. I felt like I got the questions, I was able to break them down. I felt really in control the whole time. I felt like I was able to speak super clearly, and I just felt comfortable. It was kind of fun, and I was able to, you know, just solve the problems, no issue, and go completely through the PDAC process. And I think that's a lot to do with how I was practicing. I was coding with students back and forth pretty often. I was attending the TA-led study sessions. I was recording myself, which was extremely helpful, kind of awkward to rewatch yourself back video time, but I was able to see, you know, oh, I am mumbling here, or, oh, I am moving around a lot, or I'm not totally clear in this direction, or, oh, I didn't go back to my PDAC and fix my algorithm when I had an issue, or just little things like that. I was able to really pick apart my video and see where I could improve, which was extremely helpful, I think, to implement those changes in practice come my interview time.
Yeah. Well, kudos to you for watching those recordings, because I think that's some advice that we give to most students, and I don't think most of them do, because it is hard. It's really hard to watch ourselves recorded. There's something in our brains that tells us that it is, you know, it like gives us the ick to watch ourselves.
I was just gonna say, it's kind of icky. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but watching a video of yourself, it's not great. But at the same time, I tried to tell other students as well that would ask me, hey, what can I do? What did you do differently? And I would say, have you recorded yourself yet? And they always said no. And it's like, I'm telling you, it's gonna help, I promise. Yeah. Because you're your own worst critic. You'll see where you're not confident. You'll see where you can improve. And couldn't recommend it more.
And after You're Not Yet, you decided to write an article about it, which is pretty amazing because quite a few not yets happen at launch school, and only a very small percentage of those not yets are made public, you know, by the student who received them. Most people just kind of cruise through, and maybe their closest study buddies know. So what inspired you to be like, I'm just going to tell everyone what happened?
I'm just going to post it to the world. Yeah, you know, I recently shared one of my blog posts with my grandmother, and I think it's a generational thing, but she didn't quite understand what I was doing and why I was sharing this personal information. And I told her, well, it's blogging. It's a part of having this online presence and sharing whatever you want to share, creating a platform for yourself and just putting your words out there. And I think a lot of it has to do with just being a self-taught developer. You're encouraged to have an online presence. And so having this Medium blog post is kind of one of the ways that I'm contributing to that presence. And so I wrote that article. There's a few reasons I wrote that article. I'll say the one is I mentioned that I was in the construction and project management industry, and an important part of our job was to share lessons learned, right? And so a lot of times it would be after project milestones. So you get through designs, you share lessons learned. You get through a phase of construction, you share your lessons learned. And we did it to recognize either what went wrong or what went well, mostly what went wrong. And you come up with strategies to mitigate those issues so that the next time around, maybe you can avoid them, or maybe you can notice it ahead of time. And then you share it with everyone, with your project team, with your clients, publicly, whoever you really want to share those lessons learned with. And the hope is that you share them so that other people don't make those mistakes again. And so I'm kind of taking that practice with me, and it was my way of organizing my own thoughts. And it really helped me prepare and understand my areas for improvement as I started to think about my retake for that assessment. And so that blog post was the article that I wish I had prior to taking my assessment the first time around. It combined my own outlook with recommendations from launch schools, TAs, on how best to study. Like I said, I really learned a lot from my TA's review and their feedback. And it really changed my study habits. And so just them telling me exactly, you know, what I could do to test better, I said, let me post this and maybe it can help someone else that's preparing for an assessment. So I published it to hopefully help someone else. I published it to organize my own thoughts and, you know, just figure out, hey, what do I need to do next time around to ace this assessment? And I did it to be present online, to put my voice out there, to put my story out there, and to just show a little side of my life and see what happens.
Right. Yeah, there's not a huge difference. There's not a huge gap between journaling and blogging. One just goes to the world and one doesn't, but it has that same benefit. So I think for people out there who aren't necessarily comfortable sharing about that not yet, or whatever struggle they're having, you can still write about it. You know, you don't have to publish it and get that kind of review of yourself and just taking time to think about what went wrong and, you know, how you'll move forward. And yeah, I read your most recent article too, which isn't, you know, it's not a technical piece or anything, but it shares, you know, how you came to programming and your journey now. And I think it's great to share a bit about yourself, because when you're looking for a job, right, it's not just the technical skills. They're also looking to see if you'll fit with the team and, you know, who are you as a person. So that's cool to have a bit of yourself out there for people to see.
Yeah, thank you. I think the launch school, actually, I was reflecting on this the other day. I feel like I'm working on myself both technical skill wise as well as my soft skills. I feel like I'm practicing my writing. I am mentoring others. I'm publicly speaking. I am, you know, just engaged and present, and it really has been a great experience. Eventually I'll have some technical articles written on my Medium, but right now I've just focused on a little bit of my softer skills there.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're super important. I think a few times Chris has said, you know, it's basically just as important, the soft skills, right? Which is why the interview assessments and assessments in general were introduced. That's why we have that non-technical grade, right? Which is super important for getting into Capstone. You know, you can't cruise through on the technical pieces without also, you know, working on your non-technical skills unless you're, you know, already a communication superstar. So it's good to work on both sides, even though it's not a direct thing that happens at launch school.
Definitely. Yeah, ultimately, I mean, you want to be an excellent programmer. You want to be able to communicate clearly with those that you're working with, but you also want people to like working with you. You want to bring some kind of good energy to the team that brings the team together, right? And so I am a firm believer that soft skills are just as important as your technical skills.
Mm-hmm. Great. So you're not too far into the curriculum. You're a few courses in, not too far, but you've definitely found your footing in terms of how you study, how you approach the curriculum. So how are your studies going now? Do you have like a circle of study buddies that you're working with, or do you just study by yourself? How is it?
Yeah, I study a lot by myself, but I have created two new friends. It's interesting with launch school being self-paced and all online, everyone is moving through the curriculum at different times. So people that were my study buddies in 119, they're either, you know, still preparing for their assessments or they're already past me and on to, you know, the courses after object oriented. And so it's kind of fun because that forces me to make new friends. And so I've made two new friends. And we meet sometimes virtually, and we just review concepts together, review code snips together, just whatever we can, whenever we can, as we all start preparing for the assessments. I do feel like I get a lot done on my own, though. I do think I'm a solo learner at heart, just to really absorb the material and understand what's going on, the concepts. I like to really digest it myself. And then I like to, you know, have an understanding so that I can actually communicate with folks that are in the same course as me, wherever they are in the curriculum.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that first pass of the material, I too don't really reach out or study with anyone. I might attend a spot session and kind of watch the people who are further ahead of me. You know, they kind of like pull me along or even introduce me to topics that I haven't seen yet. But generally speaking, yeah, that first pass is very much solo for me. And we talk a lot about study buddies on here, but it's also good to highlight the other side that we're not all just hanging out together, you know, reading the lessons out loud yeah. or something. We are doing a lot of solo studies and, you know, note-taking and whatever our own approach is. Do you have any advice for new students who might be feeling nervous about getting their footing or receiving a not yet, or just, you know, you very recently went through the new student at launch school phase. So do you have any advice?
Yeah, just keep trying. It's always a possibility that you'll receive a not yet, and it's not the worst thing that can happen. I am honestly kind of glad that I got that initial not yet, because it made it real for me. It said, you know, okay, this is what you need to do. This is the bar that you need to reach. And, you know, had I not received that not yet, I wouldn't really have that, I don't want to say fear, because I'm not living in fear, but it's almost
maybe.
Like, yeah. I mean, there is that kind of, that thought does circulate where I'm preparing for these assessments, like, oh, I really want to pass this time because I don't want to get received and not yet. So I know what it feels like. But again, it's not the worst thing. You learn a lot from it, and you're able to get really great feedback But I'd say, you know, just practice. Just practice how you'll perform. Just really make sure you understand the concepts. Really understand the assessment that you're taking. And create a mock assessment for yourself. Go through the curriculum and create questions from the curriculum. Take code snips and just practice writing, you know, out responses to those questions and compare them to the curriculum. And for the oral, do the same thing, you know, just practice how you'll perform. That's really the best advice that I can give, I think.
Yeah, that's nice advice. And, you know, the benefit too of having that really high standard here is that all of your fellow students are working with the same standard. So I find that the Launch School community is probably the most serious learners that I've ever been surrounded by. You know, I went to public school, so there was always like that not that too cool for school attitude, but you just don't find that here. Everyone is really excited to learn, really high standards for themselves and their study buddies, and, you know, really serious, which is fun. I like it. I find it really refreshing.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I studied engineering in college and no one had the mindset. I mean, there were some kids, I'm sure, but the majority of my class did not have the mindset that I'd say the majority of Launch School student has. And that's mastery. That's perfection. That's excellence. That's really, really learning as much as you can and being as precise as you can and coming back for more.
Great. As a final little bit to touch on, everyone wants to know, how do you know when you're ready to take an assessment? Because you've seen both sides now. So how do you know when you're ready?
Yes, I would say, when I knew I was ready for the oral assessment for 119, I was pretty bored doing Code Words problems. Just because I had done so many that I recognized all the different patterns for the problems and their solutions. So I knew, you know, every problem has a specific way to solve it, maybe a few ways to solve it. And once you realize and recognize those patterns, I think it becomes a lot simpler. So yeah, if you're bored of the material, you probably know it pretty well. If you're able to recall from memory all of the concepts in the study guide with a lot of detail, you're probably ready. If you are meeting with fellow students and, you know, you're exchanging code snips, you're live coding back and forth, and you feel pretty confident in how you're performing, you're probably ready. Yeah, just practice as much as you can. And I mean, you can't wait forever, right? Eventually you got to take it. But if you're working hard, if you're being efficient with your studying, and you're actually taking the time to, you know, really know what you're talking about, then you're probably ready. Shoot your shot.
Right. That's funny. A lot of people say that they have like all of these technical things afterwards, but kind of the first thing that a lot of people say is when I'm bored, when I'm tired of
the material. Yeah. I'm ready to move on. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You sit down to study and you're like, I just can't do any more of this.
I can't. Yeah, you do enough Code Words problems in a day. You can only do that so many days.
Yeah. And it's not just, you know, being bored of the topic. I think it's that there's no curiosity left to unfold, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You've learned all the ins and outs, you know what they're asking for, and they're not that there's nothing left to learn, but at this point in the stage of what the course is asking you to do, you've mastered it. You know what you're talking about and you can write it down. You can talk about it freely. Then go for it.
Perfect. Lovely. I think that a lot of students really love hearing from current students and people who are considering Launch School. I think they find it really valuable. You know, we have quite a few interviews with Capstone graduates, and so it's nice to kind of bridge that gap so people can see, you know, how do I get there? And, you know, it's great to hear from someone who's on the journey. And are you planning on doing Capstone?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it for sure. It's everything that I've seen about it is super impressive, just from the completed projects to the statistics of graduates from the program itself. It's all extremely impressive. So it's definitely something I'm considering and would look forward to.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing and being really open about your experiences. It's really helpful for people to hear, and can't wait to see where you go and how things go for you the rest of your core curriculum journey.
Amazing. Thanks for your time, Brandy. This was fun.
Okay. Awesome. Bye.
Bye.